Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, February the 15th, 2021. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue our study today of your word. We are grateful for all that you continue to teach us day by day, and we are asking that you will continue to give us the wisdom that is necessary so that we might walk according to your will and be obedient to your cause. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In our last session, we've been looking at an article found in the Advent Truth Ministries website. The writer of the article is Aubrey Duncan, and the article was published on June the 18th, 2015. The title of the article is Pope Francis, Climate Change and Sunday Sacredness. That would be Pope Francis, Climate Change and Sunday Sacredness. And we took a look at that article in the context of the fact that Mr. Duncan, Aubrey Duncan, was making the point that there is a direct connection between what Pope Francis is saying about climate change and the whole concept of Sunday sacredness. We only got halfway through that original article, and so I thought it would be wise for us to finish the article up today in case you didn't get a chance to read the entire thing yourself. So today we are going to continue, and if you're listening to this on the website, just go back to the February the 14th, 2021, the daily briefing, and you'll be able to hear the first part of this article that we dealt with in that session. The title, therefore, today is part two of that title, Climate Change and Sunday Sacredness, part two. Yesterday, February the 14th, was Climate Change and Sunday Sacredness, part one. So today we begin halfway through the article. Here we go. Title again, Pope Francis, Climate Change and Sunday Sacredness, by Aubrey Duncan. Published June the 18th, 2015. Here it is. In his book, Keys of This Blood, Malachi Martin, the late Jesuit scholar and expert excommunicator on the operations and aims of the papacy, revealed that there was a three-way struggle for the world dominion. He identified the players in that competition as communism, globalism or capitalism, and Catholicism. Since the publication of his book in 1990, one of those competitors has been effectively neutralized. Time magazine's cover headline declared Holy Alliance. And of course, you remember that article, as found in Time, February the 24th, 1992. And that is a description of how Reagan and the Pope, John Paul II, conspired to assist Poland's solidarity movement and hasten the demise of communism. John Paul II has now passed off the scene, but the papacy's objective, as evidenced by Francis, political and religious maneuverings, remains the same. The sad commentary is that, whilst this phenomenon is well understood by the agents of Rome, it is totally oblivious to most Americans, most of our leaders included. Francis continues to relentlessly wage the battle for papal domination, attacking the unsuspecting competition from within. What will follow the papacy's spiritual conquest of America? The late Dr. John W. Robbins, a Presbyterian minister and authority on Roman Catholicism, made this eye-opening assertion. Quote, "The Roman Church state is a hybrid, a monster of ecclesiastical and political power. Its political thought is totalitarian, and whenever it has had the opportunity to apply its principles, the result has been bloody repression. If during the last 30 years it has softened its assertions of full, supreme, and irresponsible power and has murdered fewer people than before, such changes of behavior are not due to a change in its ideas, but a change in circumstances. It is only when the Roman Church state faced public opinion that disapproved of church state sanctioned murder that it slowed its persecutions and attempted to speak with a voice less bloodthirsty. The Roman church state in the 20th century, however, is an institution recovering from a deadly wound. If and when it regains its full power and authority, it will impose a regime more sinister than any the planet has ever seen. And, of course, that's a quote found in Ecclesia Megalomania, written by Dr. John W. Robbins. And, of course, that's found on page 195. All right. Continuing, it says, considering its history of the Dark Ages, when tens of millions who disagreed with her policies were mercilessly slaughtered, Professor Robinson's assertion must not be taken lightly. Now, let me just pause here to say that I would suggest that you see if you can get your hands on that book. It's by Dr. John W. Robbins. And let me spell that, the name of the book for you. If you remember the book from the Bible, Ecclesiastes, the first part of the name is Ecclesiastical, Megalomania, Megalomania. It is a useful document to have. You will find much of what the author of this article is talking about there. But one of the reasons why I'm recommending it to you is because beyond what we are talking about here, you will find that Dr. John Robbins is dealing with the context of Catholicism within its dominating influence globally. And you'll find also that he deals with much of what you see happening around us today globally. Continuing the article, it says this, Francis continually insists that the panacea for the world's problems rests with the church's version of morality and spirituality, at the very foundation of which is Sunday sacredness. The Associated Press recently reported, Pope Francis lamented the abandoning of the traditionally Christian practice of not working on Sundays, saying it has a negative impact on families and friendships. He says that spending Sundays with family and friends is an ethical choice for faithful and non-faithful alike, preserving the special character of Sunday as the Lord's Day, even civilly, where possible. His predecessor, Benedict XI, asserted, at a time when creation seems to be endangered in so many ways through human activity, we should consciously accept this dimension of Sunday too. It is necessary to promote reflection and efforts at reconciling the demands and the periods of work with those of the family, and to recover the true meaning of the feast, especially on Sunday. The weekly Easter, the day of the Lord, and the day of man, the day of the family, of the community, and of solidarity. And of course, that's Benedict XI talking there. A leading church publication also stated in Sunday or Mark of Authority that the church is above the Bible, and the transference of Sabbath is proof that that fact is true. And, of course, that is found in the Catholic Record, September the 1st, 1923. Despite the differing opinions on Francis' position on climate change, one thing is for sure, almost all are coming together on Rome's proposition for Sunday sacredness, ostensibly to save not only the environment and take care of creation, but also to strengthen the family and, by extension, society as a whole. Sunday sacredness will bridge the divides across political, socioeconomic, and religious lines on climate change. Newly elected, very aggressive, devout Roman Catholic Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York has introduced her rather bold initiative on climate change, Green New Deal, to the nation. Her proposal is completely in line with her church's agenda on the climate issue, calling for worker equity and rest as part of the solution to the problem. Though not explicitly calling for Sunday sacredness, the implication is clear. All right. So now we're looking at that congresswoman, who most people don't even realize is Catholic, but OAC is the name that they give her, because most people don't want to use the whole name, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, so they call her OAC. But she is Catholic, and she's been pushing the green agenda, she calls it, which is indeed the climate change agenda. One of the interesting things about this article, let me make this point again, and I want you to know this, this article that I'm reading today was published on June the 18th, 2015. So this would have been published before the election of Donald Trump to presidency. And most of the obvious signs that we see occurring since his presidency, signs that were there before his presidency, but they've only risen to the surface because all of a sudden we realize that he has the support of the far-right evangelicals, and they have an agenda. That agenda has existed long ago, even before Ronald Reagan, as I've said previous to this. But you notice that this article contains much of what we see happening now, and it's relevant to us now. And this is something that you and I need to understand, because we are moving into that final phase of everything God has warned us about. And when we look at the connection between this particular president that we have now and Francis, and the connection, their direct connection to climate change and its implications where the worship laws will be concerned, this is relevant, and you and I need to take this seriously. Okay, let's see if we can't finish up the article today. Pharrell Williams, internationally renowned entertainer and recording artist, has dedicated his life to doing what he can to make the world a better place. And that's a good thing indeed. In that effort, he's being used to advance the papacy's agenda for Sunday sacredness, a well-orchestrated frontal attack on the Word of God. He has spoken at the United Nations, a major player promoting the call for Sunday sacredness to help heal the environment and impact climate change. Another unwitting, very influential player in the Pope's agenda to replace God's Holy Sabbath Day with Sunday sacredness is 15-year-old Greta Thunberg. Her recent meeting with Francis added impetus to her call for governments and individuals to take swift, decisive action on climate change. More recently, cultural entertainment icon Kanye West joined the choir calling for Sunday sacredness with his newly released album, Jesus is King. His initiation of his popular acclaimed Sunday services is unwittingly drawing millions into the papal deadly net in opposition to Creator God. These and other initiatives, small and large, are in complete and perfect harmony with the papacy's plan for world domination and the institution of Sunday sacredness. Pope Francis could not be more succinct when he admonishes, quote, on Sunday, all participation in the Eucharist has special importance. Sunday, like the Jewish Sabbath, is meant to be a day which heals our relationships with God, with ourselves, with others, and with the world. Sunday is the day of resurrection, the first day of the new creation, whose first fruits are the Lord's risen humanity, the pledge of the final transfiguration of all created reality. It also proclaims man's eternal rest in God. And of course, that's a part of the Laudato Si encyclical written by Pope Francis. First, there is no such thing as a Jewish Sabbath. It is God's Sabbath bequeathed to all humanity. Jesus declared the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. The papacy's usurpation of the word of God will not lead to peace and harmony, as is being promised, but rather to despotism, oppression, and tyranny, such as never been seen in human history. Herein lies the potential for greatest conflict of all. Relative to creation, the Bible teaches that the God of creation has already given humanity a day of rest and worship. It is the seventh day and not the first. It reads, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he has rested from all his work which God created and made." Then he reminds us, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." 19th century religious commentator Ellen G. White, whom the Smithsonian Institution recognized as one of the 10 most popular religious writers, informs us, "The Sunday movement is now making its way in darkness. The leaders are concealing the true issue, and many who unite in the movement do not themselves see whether the undercurrent is tending. They are working in blindness. They do not see that if a Protestant government sacrifices the principles that have made them a free, independent nation, and through legislation brings into the Constitution principles that will propagate papal falsehood and papal delusion, they are plunging into the Roman horrors of the Dark Ages." And of course, she's quoting there from Review and Herald, December the 11th, 1888. Contrary to the papal call for legislated decrees for Sunday sacredness, employing the instrument of climate change, the Creator, in the image of an angel with a loud voice, lovingly beckons all humanity today, "Fear God and give Him glory, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water." And you find that in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 7. Ultimately, all will have to take a stand, not on climate change, but either on papal tradition of Sunday sacredness or the seventh-day Sabbath of Creator God. And of course, that is where that particular article ends. Now, what is important about this, as I said before, is that you understand that this is where we're heading. And we've got to make some choices, and we've got to make those choices now. We've got to make sure that we are prepared for that which is to come. We cannot afford to wait until the last moment to make a choice, because by then we will not have the necessary energy, the necessary strength to stand the kind of persecution that is to come, the kind of pressure that is going to be placed upon those who are followers of Christ. It's going to be the kind of pressure that has not been seen at any time during the history of this entire world. What you've read about happening in Fox's Book of Martyrs, what you've read about the Inquisition and the pressures that existed then, are nothing compared with the intensity of what is to come. And you and I need to be ready for that kind of intensity. We need to place ourselves in God's hand. We need to know for sure what we believe, why we believe it, and where to find it, so that we're willing to stand oblivious to all of the pressures and the fires of persecution that will be poured out. Today, God is calling you to take that stand. And there might be things in your life that you need to make straight with God. And I would suggest that you enter into the closet. And somebody asked me the other day what I meant by closet. I mean closet. I was using it to mean a private place, but if you have a full house with a lot of people in it, I'm sure you can find an actual closet somewhere that you can enter into it and have a private word with the Lord. The prayer that you need to pour out to heaven is not something that you need to discuss with your husband or with your wife or with your children or with your aunt or with your uncle or with your parents. You need to talk with God. You need to lay open before Him all of what you know about yourself and ask Him to reveal to you the things that are necessary to be known about yourself so that you can ask for forgiveness and be forgiven and the work of redemption be started in your life, in your character, so that you might be able to stand with Him. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to bless us with truth and warnings. And today as we come, we ask that you would fill us with understanding so that we might be willing to surrender ourselves completely to you in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again today, we must thank you for your consistency in listening to the broadcast each and every day. We're grateful that God has drawn us together that we can study. And we'd like to make an appeal to you that you make a contribution to this ministry so that we might be able to finance our continued service in this area. God bless you and thank you. This has been your daily briefing, February the 15th, 2021.